is there is no central school of real estate. You don't get a real estate developer license. Right. I mean, you get a contractor's license and this license and whatever. But everybody's understanding of real estate is based on their experience, on their personal history, on their personal story, on their background. Just like I described mine, having seen all this, you know, devastation in the industry. I have a specific perspective of that. And everybody's perspective is different. And so, and in my world, trying to raise capital or help people to raise capital, the fact is that your prospects want to hear your point of view.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yona Weiss, once again, and I am very blessed to be joined by a good friend, Dr. Adam Gower from Gower Crowd. He is an incredible person, and I am thrilled to have a conversation with him, as you will be, just by sitting and listening. So without further ado, Adam, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for that very warm introduction. It's great to see you again, as always.
It is. You know, we haven't had many British people on the show. So, but you've been in the States for so long, it's almost hard to consider.
What makes you think I'm British? Right? I'm from Lubbock, Texas.
That's just out of Sheffield, right? Just outside.
West of Sheffield.
Just a little context. I mean, Adam has been in the real estate industry over 30 years. He has participated in over $1.5 billion with a B dollars in transactions on many, many different levels, from brokering to investing to syndicating to, you know, developing, you name it. He's been involved. He's used his resources and his expertise recently, not only to create an extremely popular podcast, I highly recommend you check it out, Gower Crowd, but the platform, which is an incredible platform using digital marketing to help others, private clients specifically, raise capital online. This is a great subject, something I really want to dig into a little bit in our conversation today, Adam. So maybe give us a little bit of background. You know, what made that transition from the active real estate syndicator, developer, investor, moving into this digital, you know, world that we're in today?
First of all, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure. Truly is a pleasure to be here. And that is a good question. It was, look, I'm, you know, you've got just a teeny, teeny little bits of gray going on there. I'm almost completely white already. So getting on in years, and I went through a couple of major downturns, or have gone through a couple of major real estate downturns in my career. The first one was in the early 1990s. I had done extremely well as a young man in real estate syndication and development, working for a family office, and lost everything. It was a complete disaster when the savings and loan crisis hit. And then the second time, I got out just before the current downturn, which is kind of not, it's a bit of a bump, not really a major downturn, but 2007, 2008, got out just in time for that. And was brought into banks and major private equity funds to work on their massive portfolios, mm-hmm. and saw a lot of distress.
Yeah.
And it made me even more conservative than I was going into the downturn. And so when the market started to pull out again, I was kind of, to be honest with you, kind of battle scarred. Is that the term? Kind of.
Yeah.
Gun shy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having seen all this distress and actually done very well out of it because I did a lot of divestments and workouts, etc. But I slowed down a little. It was quite hectic. And I started looking at seed investing. angel investing in startups. And anyone that's heard my stuff, I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but it was a pivotal moment in my life, or pivotal period in my life, because I started teaching at a university, real estate investment and finance. I wanted to learn how to teach. And at the same time, I was being pitched by these students who were 30 plus years younger than me. And they were pitching their startups.
Right.
And they were speaking a foreign language. And it was the language of digital marketing. It was things like funnels and CTAs and CTRs and a whole world of acronyms. I had no idea, didn't know anything. Totally foreign to me. And then when the Jobs Act passed, it occurred to me over time that here was an opportunity for the commercial real estate industry to adopt, to learn this new language, the language of digital marketing. And so gradually, I kind of evolved into this space and have discovered quite a passion for it. I think it's an amazing, I love communicating. I love teaching. I don't like to patronize people by saying I'm teaching. Right. But basically, that's what you're doing when you're online. You're teaching people. 100%. And I really enjoy doing that.
Absolutely. No, I totally relate to that. And I agree with you. It is a lot about when you're online, you're, you know, writing posts and your blogs and videos and all this stuff. It really is. It's education. And the topic can be anything. So for you to take these topics of these digital marketing concepts and break it down, how it relates to commercial real estate and to those investors, I think is a huge benefit for this industry. And like you said, it has room for disruption.
It certainly does. And, you know, here's the thing. It's interesting because if you go online and you look up any kind of concept in commercial real estate, this is what we tell our clients and the students that buy my courses, whatever it is. If you go online and you look up multifamily housing or cap rate, for example, within a nanosecond, you'll get 100 million hits. Everyone opining about this topic. What's fascinating about real estate is there is no central school of real estate. You don't get a real estate developer license. I mean, you get a contractor's license, and this license and whatever. But everybody's understanding of real estate is based on their experience, on their personal history, on their personal story, on their background, just like I described mine, having seen all this, you know, devastation in the industry. I have a specific perspective of that. And everybody's perspective is different. And so, and in my world, trying to raise capital or help people to raise capital, the fact is that your prospects want to hear your point of view.
Right.
So even though cap rate is talked about by 8 million other people, your prospects want to know what your understanding of that concept is, because it is going to be subtly different from everybody else.
Hopefully. Right? Hopefully.
Well, yes, it has to be. I think it has to be.
Yeah, of course.
I think it would be. You are, if you were to ask 20, you got four questions at the end.
Yeah.
Right, you've kind of prepped me for that, although you haven't told me what they are. So I'm
correct.
A little bit nervous about that, what they are. But if you were to add one and say, what is the cap rate to every single person that comes on, I guarantee you would not get the same answer.
Right.
Everyone's going to give you a different answer. How do you calculate it? How is it used, et cetera, et cetera. So
sure.
It's all different.
Absolutely. So you're essentially training or advising people how to share this knowledge in their own way. Is that
exactly
basically what it is?
That's exactly right. It's kind of, I like to think of it as extracting DNA. I'm a doctor, right? So what I do is extract DNA. And we do cold email list pruning.
Okay.
So a cold email is somebody who hasn't opened one of your emails for 90 days. And after 6 months, we like to run a series of emails just to see if they're still interested. You might have had emails like, we noticed you've not been engaging with us for a while. Click here if you still want to hear from us, right? And that's for domain reputations, very technical. So I send these out once in a while. And I got a really, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I got an email from a guy that wrote back and said, not interested. He said, first, unless you've healed anyone, stop calling yourself a doctor. What? Bloody nerve. And then he told you to get me off your list. So I unsubscribed him. And I wanted to say, I looked him up, actually. He'd also went to the London School of Economics like me. I wasn't an arse about him. You know, I just let him go his own way. But I wanted to write back and say, hey, you know what? Not all doctors heal. Some of us teach. But I didn't. I don't want to be snide or anything. I think, right. You know, he doesn't want to know anyway. But the answer to your question is authenticity. What I teach people is to be authentic to themselves. Because, look, I lived in L.A. for years, Los Angeles, right? And in L.A., now it's obviously a horrible overgeneralization, right. But in the city of angels, where Hollywood and the whole ethos of Hollywood dominates, people, it seems to me, live their lives acting a role, mm-hmm. right? They want to be, they want to portray a personality or an aspect of themselves that isn't really theirs. Yeah. But it's the way that they want people to see them. So they're kind of acting out their own lives. They're not really living authentic lives. Yeah. Yeah. And so what I try and teach my clients and the people that come to me for advice about how to raise money is be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. You want people to know you for who you are. That you will never impress everybody. The only people you want to impress are the ones who really like you for who you are. So authenticity is key.
100%. And, you know, having lived in LA for many years, I can attest to the fact that it is a very, you know, it is, you know, generalization admitted, but it's a very shallow place.
You are what you drive.
No, there's a lot of truth to that, but your presence or your digital footprint, as you like to call it, right, is people get to know you online through your social media, through your content that you're creating, through this email, you know, marketing, these blogs, et cetera. People who are engaged, and like you said, they see through that and are going to relate to you because they are open to that. And so they want to see the real you. You know, I think this guy, the great example, the, you know, the anti-doctor email response you got, because that was him. You know, he was the type of person, he was not interested. Probably he has his own problems with, you know, with disingenuous.
Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, look, what my son bought me when I got my PhD, my son bought me a lab coat. So I was like, well, actually thinking of doing presentations with my lab coat on. Right. That'd be taking a little bit. And stethoscope. Yeah,
exactly. I get the whole thing going. Yeah, I know. My father is a doctor of psychology. You know, he's a psychotherapist. And yeah, he's got his, you know, doctorate. And so we made the jokes with him also, because now he's a doctor. But okay, it has somewhat to do with the medical field. He worked in a hospital, et cetera. But, you know, that's, you know, there are many, many different types of doctors. I had a professor that insisted everyone call him doctor, doctor, doctor. Like it was, you must call him doctor. You can't not call him doctor. And, you know, someone once called him up and was like, you know, can you please help me? You know, call him up midnight, you know, doctor. I need help. I need help. I'm sick.
Your house calls.
I'm sick.
That's funny. But, you know, here's the thing, though, about authenticity. So you talked about people seeing through it. But, you know, at the end of the day, which is obviously a horrible cliche, again, just the world that I inhabit at the moment, particularly. And I'll tell you something, it's really difficult to be authentic. When I was doing podcasts, strictly audio, I really, really struggled with that. I love being able to see the person I'm talking to. I can interact. I can see facial expressions, nonverbal communication. You know, it's really reinforcing. And it brings out, for me, the true me. Right, I'm not all nervous because I can't see them or whatever. Right. But the key in capital formation, when you're actually raising money, and the reason it's so important to be true to who you are unabashedly, is because typically you won't close a deal without some personal contact. Now, in some cases, You will. People will write checks and they will sign contracts without ever talking to you. You can do it all online, right? Sure. But in many cases, there will be a point of contact. And particularly if it's a big dollar investor, they will want to have a personal conversation with you. And so if at that moment of conversion, where you actually connect with them to carry them over the line from being a prospect to being an investor, if what they have seen and read and understood you to be online is different from the real you, they will walk away.
Yep.
So it's really important to be true throughout everything that you do. And the only way to do that is to be true to yourself.
100%. 100%. What would you say is, you know, something that everyone who's listening to this, who, let's assume that the listener is, and I don't know exactly who the listener is, but let's assume the listener is someone who wants to raise money from investors. And I believe that a lot of our audience are those type of people, are investors or real estate people. What would be the biggest advice you would give to them in terms, I mean, obviously we've talked about the authenticity of that, but in terms of actually moving to a more digital presence if they have not been until now?
Yes, that's a big question.
Talk to you.
Yeah. Well, that would be the first stop. Yeah, that'd be a really good idea. Yes. I can definitely help you with that. But it is a big deal. If I just got off a call, I don't want to mention names, it would be indiscreet, but actually somebody who I've met through you, thank you very much, who has an unusual digital presence in that they don't have a website, but they do have social media. And that, like, is, as my 9-year-old likes to say, and if you're not watching, I'm doing this with my hands. Like head explosion. You've got amazing followers on social, but no website. How do you do that? So if you have truly nothing, and I do see that, I'll tell you where I see it a lot, actually, is old multi-generational families who are very, very successful in real estate and are used to pressing the flesh, you know, meeting up and shaking hands and doing
work until now, right?
They have zero online and zero understanding, but a kind of a general awareness. Really, the first thing you really need is a basic website with a lead generation form. Sounds complicated, but that's just a button that says, "Give me your name and email address, right, and I'll send you some good stuff." And some articles, some content on your website. I mean, that's the core of what will end up being the gravitational center of your capital formation efforts, because everything subsequent to that will point to it. So if you have an article on a website, like that one I just showed you, right before we started from our podcast last time, you can put posts on social media that will drive people to your website. Gotcha. So I'd say that's probably the minimum standard, is a website with a form on it to capture names and an article to entertain passers-by with.
Very good. Yeah. Pretty basic. I appreciate that. That's very helpful. More helpful than people might think, because it sounds very basic, but it really does start that process in the right direction. Especially if you want to be raising money online, which what you're talking about, and you know, obviously anyone who's listening to this can go to Gower Crowd, right? Go to Adam. We're going to put all the links in the show notes. He's going to tell us at the end how to find him. But you can find out tremendous amount of information about how to do this, because he literally gives courses and has written, you know, extensive articles to show you exactly how to go about doing this.
Well, thank you. Yes, I have. There's a lot of content on that website.
There's tremendous amount, yeah.
Here's the thing. The difference between the old school way of doing it and the new school actually isn't, there isn't a big difference. They're both sides of a mirror. Mm-hmm. The old school way, you would have a business card. And I haven't got any of mine because I don't use them anymore. But you'd have a business card and you'd hand it off to somebody. It's my name, company name, phone number and address. And why would you do that? That's so that you can follow up with that person. You would exchange cards, right, and you'd be able to then follow up in some way. So that's really all your website is. It's just a digital
business card.
Business card. That's all it is, except the power of being online allows you to do a lot more than just share contact information. Sure. Right?
Well, yeah, I would venture to say, I mean, a social media is the same in a lot of ways. And so I can relate to that person that you spoke about that had a lot of followers, a big digital presence through social media, but didn't yet have a website, because I was that person myself as well for a long time. I didn't have a website. Now, obviously, we have YonaWeiss.com, which is pretty simple. It's pretty rudimentary. It's not that complex at all. But, you know, I only put that up for really the sake of those things that you're saying, to have a way to capture emails, to way that people that want to find more about me can do that. But the social media does a lot of that as well.
Social media drives the traffic to that website, presumably. People now look up Yonah Weiss and they get...
No, but what I'm saying is that the social media does it itself. I mean, for me, a LinkedIn page, that has everything pretty much that a website has, okay, except for the capturing the emails.
Yes, that was where I was going to go with that. So how do you... See, that's... So this is interesting, because this is what we talked about on my podcast. So in your case, you have to maintain a constant drumbeat of posting and communication with people.
Correct.
You cannot automate that. I mean, you could, I suppose, post automatically, but you can't communicate directly with people automatically that way. Whereas with email, you can. If somebody signs up and gives you their name and email address, and I've probably signed up to your website. If I haven't, I'm going to jump on and see what you do. But but when somebody signs up and says, Yonah, I'd like to know more about you, and the way they say that is by saying, here's my name and email address. Mm-hmm. Do you now follow up with emails to them and send out newsletters? And do you have automated email sequences when somebody signs up? I mean, what have you got going? Because that is game changing when you do that.
Yeah. So that's obviously, that's the next step, right? That's obviously the most important part of it. And, you know, honestly, admittedly, I really don't have anything set up like that. And it was set up in a way, my website, that I could do that. You know, and I use, you know, have active campaign and these type of things where it can be set up to do. And I literally just haven't done it. But I do understand the value of that and have a list. I actually have a pretty big list already of people that have signed up, and it's just sitting there. It's just a database at this point.
But so is it for sale? Goal.
Is it for sale? I'll put you on the list, the auction. We could go on forever. We really could, but I want to jump into the final four. This is a segment of the show where I ask four questions and oftentimes surprise my guests with these questions. So the first question for you is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Oh my goodness. Yes. The worst job. Well, okay, so just this off the top of my head, I can tell you probably, and there's probably been a lot worse if I really gave it some thought, but the first thing that comes to mind, when I first was in real estate, I worked for an electrician. I was 18. My job was to pull wires, and he would have me going up into attics and crawling underneath in base, you know, not basements even, but crawl spaces under houses. And what I remember was not taking his advice to put on body overalls in the attic space one time as I went out there, baking hot, no insulation, super hot, and filled with all this ancient fibrous insulation stuff. It wasn't asbestos, thank goodness, some other ghastly material. And I ended up just covered in this stuff, and it was impossible to get out. It was horrible.
Oh wow.
But anyway, so I've probably had worse jobs than that, but that's the first thing for whatever reason.
That was a bad experience for sure.
That's about 100 years ago. Yeah.
Right. What's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Yeah. So you thankfully did give me a hint of that before we started. So I was able to get my head straight around that. And there have been actually a couple that I've read recently. And I'll tell you the one, I've actually got it on my book. I've actually got it right here because I'm trying to summarize it. It's there's a couple. One is Robert Collier Letter Book, written in 1936, I think. And then there's another one here, Claude Hopkins, Scientific Advertising by Claude Hopkins. And the reason that these are recent paradigm shifts for me is that having been being a relative newcomer, only 6 years or so, to digital marketing, although I built some auto email systems over 10 years ago, but I didn't know I was doing it then. I have studied massively, and there are a lot of people that talk about digital marketing, and they describe it as though it were brand new, a new to the world digital marketing. What I've learned from these books, actually, is that the techniques and methodology that are employed in digital marketing are as old as dirt. These books describe the same exact methodology, the same exact human psychology, the same exact sales techniques, tactics, and strategies that are employed in digital marketing today from campaigns that they ran in the early 20th century, 1904, they go back to.
Wow.
So that to me was a eureka moment. Ah, this isn't new. This is wonderful. It really gave me greater confidence that what I was doing was strong and legitimate. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Incredible. No, that is quite incredible. We're going to put those books in the show. It's definitely going to add those to the list. Third question is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
Oh, there's a few things I'd call it. I'd like to play the guitar.
There you go.
Wouldn't mind doing that.
That's a good one.
If I could do that. I don't know if that's really constantly on my mind. You know what I'd really, a skill that I would really like is to somehow figure out how to work out regularly all the time. That's really what, I used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of that's something that's gone by the wayside. I know it's probably a bit dull.
That's important.
But being completely honest about it, I would love to get back into shape, and I've got no idea how to change my mind set to be able to do that. And that is a skill, I think, being able to do that. It's having a hard time with that.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you need a personal trainer is maybe what you need. It's someone to whip you into shape.
Yes, that was exactly what I was thinking about. I was thinking of something slightly different, but I won't share that online, especially with you. I'll be decent about it together.
All right. And the fourth and final question, what does success mean to you?
Yes, success is inner contentment and happiness. I think it's figuring out, you know, when I was at high school, there was friends of mine who knew what they wanted to do at the age of 14. They knew what they wanted to do. And now I see them 50 years later, 40 years, however long later,
right,
doing what they knew they wanted to do at 14. And I have always kind of wondered what I want to be when I grow up. And I think deep down, it is really contentment and what the French call joie de vivre, I think, while at the same time contributing, but contributing in a way that is holistic, that's just consistent with who I want to be somehow. But I haven't quite figured that out. So that's another skill. It's a tough thing. It's like a constant battle.
Really, well, it's an ongoing journey.
It's
thing of life.
Yes. It does come to an end.
And it does at a certain point. That's true. You know, as long as we go along for the journey, then, you know, we'll get there.
Hey, so you know what? I actually thought about, I know that you've only got a few minutes, but I did actually think about this question very deeply recently. It actually caused me to think about it differently. I posted on LinkedIn. I didn't hashtag or copy anyone, so nobody commented. Nobody comments on my stuff. But I saw an article about a fellow who firmly believes he will live to be 180 years old, right? It's like nanotechnology and this and that and whatever. And it got me thinking, gosh, if I knew that I could live another 100 years, right? Not that I'm guaranteed of it, but that I have the biological mental makeup to be able to do that. How would I live my life differently mm-hmm. today? So I know this is your show, but how would you live your life differently if you knew you had the biology for another 100 years?
It's a profound question, and it's something that I really honestly think about a lot, because I didn't see that article, but you know, the fact that we, and in our religion, you know, we understand that we really live forever. Like, there's a part of us, a soul that is eternal and does not die. So this world is really kind of just a part of our journey, but it is finite and it does come to an end. However, I think the answer to that question is when you begin to live every day as if it's your last, that really on a very small scale, you begin to live that fulfilled life that you're thinking, yeah, well, how would I live differently if I lived 100 years? Well, how would I live differently if today was my last day? And so kind of flipping that over the script, you see how life plays out. Because you make those choices and you do those things and don't react. You know, you realize very quickly, you know, anger and arrogance and all of these bad character traits that we're all innately built with are not that important, right? All these things, will this be important 100 years from now? No. So why is it important now? And so these are the kind of things and I think the thoughts that I think about personally, you know, to answer your question, how I would live differently.
Yeah. Avoidance of stress is one thought that I have. And what came to me was the idea of slowing down. I would slow down, but this is a much longer discussion for
100%. The last of the four, and so we'll have to have a follow-up. This is really for our Tanya discussion, as we mentioned before.
I'd love to. It is an eternal discussion, actually.
Exactly. So it's we could definitely have a follow-up episode just to discuss that. Adam, where can our listeners find you or reach out?
Thank you. Yes, they can find me at gallacrowd.com. There's a contact page there and a gazillion calls to action. So just answer any of the, like, sign up for anything anywhere, and you'll be in touch. And if you want to actually email me, go to gallacrowd.com and hit the contact form there, and you'll get straight through to me.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. It really has, truly. This is a great conversation, which, you know, I say a lot of times we could really go on forever, but and I always mean it. And this conversation, we really could continue. But for our listeners, I like to keep it bite size. So thank you again for joining me, and look forward to speaking again soon.
Enormous pleasure. Thanks for having me, Yona.
Awesome. Well, and to our listeners, don't forget, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.